Welcome to the Silver Screen Podcast. I'm Jared Boomer.
And I'm Katie Ganey West. This is a podcast about movies and pop culture.
And today, it's the third movie in the second trilogy of Jurassic Park-related stuff, Jurassic World Dominion. We'll talk all about it coming up here on the show. As you can maybe tell by this intro, we both loved it. So it's going to be a lot of positive things to say about Jurassic World Dominion in just a few minutes. So, hey, at least maybe these movies are over, at least for a little while. So,
are they?
I don't know.
Well,
that's the thing.
I told everybody, I told Jared right when we started, I was like, I am so angry I paid money and had to sit through this movie, but I could not wait to record this so we could trash it together.
So we'll be talking about that in just a few minutes. First, we do have some news items. Ezra Miller, once again, they are in the news. Every week, a different story comes out about them.
Every week.
For some reason or another. So this time, there was a story that TMZ released that basically said that Ezra Miller groomed this teenage girl. And the girl is basically denying the story, saying that's not true. But TMZ is reporting that that is indeed accurate. They had other sources as well. And as much crap as TMZ gets sometimes, they are pretty solid usually
they're
in their reporting.
They're spooky accurate.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So they're usually good in their like sources, and they don't put something up unless it's true usually. So I usually trust, even though their website is like very like gotcha journalism, it's, you know, usually their stories are true. So another not great week for Ezra Miller.
Jared, okay, several things. So first of all, this girl, I'm sorry, I should have had her name up, but she was like super popular, like I shouldn't say popular, not like that was a contest. She was very well known for being an activist, and she is an indigenous woman, and she was young and got to meet like Leonardo DiCaprio and Shailene Woodley, and there's all these photos of her with these famous celebrities like organizing to go against like a pipeline, an oil pipeline, all sorts of things, especially things that have to do with her like background, which is so cool. So the fact that Ezra Miller went after her is so upsetting to me. And then the other thing I noticed, Jared, is that all the people that, except for my man Eddie, that are in Fantastic Beasts right now are basically in the news for horrible things. And it's like, they're just going to keep getting in trouble for things until they just have to cancel the series. Like, J.K. Rowling is constantly in the news for putting her foot in her mouth and being racist, a bigot, whatever she chooses to be that day. She's hated. She's hated by so many people when she gave us one of the most beloved series of all time. And then Ezra Miller, they are getting in trouble left and right for I mean, like, a lot of, like, illegal things or, like, questionable things. And then Johnny Depp, no matter what side you're on, he's in the news for like domestic abuse, no matter which way it's coming from. So I'm pretty sure that that series, like, it needed to end before it started, but I definitely think they should just probably nix the rest of them at this point.
Yeah, I think that's probably a good plan there. And Ezra Miller is supposed to be in The Flash, which is supposed to come out next year. I don't know if that's going to release or not. That is DC. It's supposed to come out in June of next year.
I'm so proud of myself. And also, if it's DC, that means I don't have to force myself to see it.
But I don't know if that movie's actually going to come out with all the stuff.
I have a feeling it's going to be canceled now.
They're in the news for it. Yeah. So, also, congratulations to Jennifer Hudson. She got an EGOT earlier this week at the Tony Awards. She was a producer on the play that won Best Musical at the Tony Awards. And so she now has an EGOT, which is very cool.
Love Jennifer Hudson. She's got to be a pretty young person to get the EGOT as well.
Yeah, there's not a ton of people that have the EGOT, she won an EGOT. It was for the musical A Strange Loop, which she is a producer on.
Everyone is talking about that.
Yeah, I've heard good things about that. So it won a bunch of Tony Awards at the Tonys this past Sunday. So, and now Jennifer Hudson has an EGOT. So congratulations to her. Again, a small list of people. It's hard to get all four. So
I think there's 17 currently.
Okay.
That have the EGOT. Also, I didn't have to look this up. I knew this. Audrey Hepburn is one of the 17. So love you, Audrey.
It's very hard. Very hard to do. You have to be multi-talented in a lot of different areas. So to be able to get that. So congratulations to Jennifer Hudson. And then Lizzo also had a situation earlier this week where a song of hers, somebody pointed out that she had the ableist slur in the song, and she was able to correct that and then re-release the song, like re-upload it to all the streaming platforms and everything with that word taken out and the edit done.
Yes, I wanted to point this out because I think it's good to learn these things. This is something I wouldn't have known, and I have friends that this actually would affect. But this ableist slur, it's used against members of the disability community. But I was really impressed with Lizzo because she didn't get canceled. Someone brought it to her attention. She took care of it. She released the song without the word in it, and she took responsibility and apologized. I can't remember the last time somebody did that. They were like, my bad. A genuine apology, immediately took action, didn't get publicists involved, didn't get 18,000 people involved, just took care of it, handled it, apologized. So proud of her. And you know what? I do think what gave it some credence, too, was that she said, specifically, she said, as a fat black woman in America, she's like, many people, that was directly what she said. She said, like, you know, I've been called many, many names and know how this feels. And I thought that that actually probably helped quite a bit. If it was someone like, I don't know, I can't even think, Blake Lively, maybe. Mm-hmm. That would be kind of a different, as much as people love her, like, that would be a different story. So I'm very proud of Lizzo. I wanted to point it out, both to educate people and vice versa. Oh, and Jared, another fun update this week. I mean, it's not fun because it's about gun control, but I had friends contacted me, multiple people this week that are listening to our podcast, and they said, you know, thank you for the script, but also ask, like, can you send me that script? It helped keep me accountable too, so that I could follow through with what I said I was going to do. And I also was able to find links and new things. So, like, a written script or ways for you to find senators and representatives if you want to get involved. So I think that's actually making a difference. I'm very proud of us.
Nice. Yeah, that's awesome that people are reaching out and contacting their senators and their representatives and everything. So
yes.
And now we'll move on to our corrections corner. We have two corrections from last week's episode, so we wanted to bring those up right now.
I'm embarrassed. So I think I've mentioned this before. I unfortunately listen to every episode of our podcast. I love the podcast. It's just hard to hear my voice, but I'm so used to it now that it's fine. And I do that so I can catch things that I said incorrectly during the episode. So Bill Pullman, we talked about his son, Lewis, that's in Top Gun Maverick. And mm-hmm. is also yep. very good looking. And I was talking about Bill Pullman and I was listing off things, but this is so weird, Jared. I was even thinking of the movie Sleepless in Seattle, and out loud I said, When Harry Met Sally. Like, I could see Tom Hanks and Meg Ryan, but I said a movie with Meg Ryan and Billy Crystal. It's very weird. So then when we were recording the episode, I even looked it up on IMDb. And still said the wrong thing, even though it said Sleepless in Seattle. I again said When Harry Met Sally. I said it twice. So I just want to correct everyone. Bill Pullman was in While You Were Sleeping. He was in the TV show The Sinner and also Sleepless in Seattle. And then the other thing I wanted to correct, a couple episodes ago, we were reading reviews from you all, which we were so grateful for. Thank you. Keep them coming. And we acknowledged that someone, BNL Guster Fan, was their handle. We wanted to thank them, but didn't know who they were. I found out it was my cousin. So I just wanted to send a thank you to Angie. She knows who she is. I have a ton of great stories with her, but I will save them for another time. But thank you so much for your review. It was very nice that you took the time to do that. And now we've solved the mystery.
Very nice. Now we have some recommendations. I don't have a ton of stuff this week. I do have a book. It's by Jason Rekulek, who has one other book out, The Impossible Fortress. This book is called Hidden Pictures, and it came out about a month ago.
Yes.
It is a thriller. It's not very long. I'm about halfway done with it so far, but it's very good so far. It's basically about a boy that does these drawings, and then it seems like he's talking to an imaginary friend or an invisible mm-hmm. friend that is kind of evil. So that's kind of the premise for the book. I would recommend, if you do read it, to get a physical copy of it, because the illustrations, you actually see the drawings throughout the book. So that's really cool to look at. Like, while you're reading the book, they'll reference a drawing, and then maybe the next page will be the drawing. So that's really cool. And I think on an ebook that or e-reader, that just wouldn't be as great. So, yeah. But it's out, and It's a really good book so far. I haven't finished it yet, but it's got like a 4.3 on Goodreads, so I'm assuming the end is going to be good. It seems like other people like it too. So
yeah,
that's my one recommend. And then my other one is the season two of this show is starting up very soon at the end of this month, and that's Only Murders in the Building. If you haven't seen the first season, now's a good time to catch up. Steve Martin, Martin Short, and Selena Gomez. It's a show that knows kind of exactly what it wants to be and is not super duper serious, has good comedy elements, but also good mystery elements as well. So I enjoyed the first season way more than I thought I was going to. And so the second season will be out at the end of this month. So now's a good time with a few weeks left to catch up on that before the second season comes out.
Awesome. Thank you for reminding me of that, Jared, because I've really been looking forward to that, and I forgot it was coming up so soon. And I think Selena Gomez, I mean, to me, Martin Short and Steve Martin are like comedy gods. And Steve Martin, there's a joke, my friend Kristen, if she listens, there was a big joke during my bachelorette party because we were talking about like older guys that were hot and that we have crushes on. And I said Steve Martin, and she thought it was the funniest thing she'd ever heard. Like, could not take me seriously. And it came up. It came up like for the rest of the weekend, and now
it's
a year
like a
later.
Running
like,
joke.
It's still
yeah.
hilarious that I love Steve Martin. Whatever. Anyway, okay, but I think that Selena Gomez, who I also have a crush on, really holds her own with those two. So that says something.
Yep.
But yeah, you're my buddy on Goodreads, and I seem to. I think Goodreads knows I want to see what you're reading, so it pops up all the time. And I'd seen that book, and I did not know about it. So thank you for telling us about Hidden Pictures. Okay, I have some recommendations. I've been catching up on things, Jared. So one is a book, actually two, excuse me, The Heart's Invisible Furies by John Boyne. I don't want to ruin a single minute of this book for you. I will tell you it's over 500 pages long. I flew through it. It was, I think it's my favorite book of 2022 so far.
Okay.
It might be in competition with two other books, but I think it's easily first place right now.
I'm going to put it on my list.
It's so good. I won't. Now, don't let this deter anyone. I mean, to me, it would be like a reason to read it. I will say it's perfect for June for Pride Month. I had no idea what it was about beforehand, but my God, it was magnificent. And it's, I will say it takes place in Ireland, primarily, also a little in New York City, also a little in Amsterdam. And it does go over time. So it shows you, it goes by decades. So it'll say like, this is what happened in this decade, etc. Good heavens. It was fantastic. And it was also a book that I laughed out loud multiple times, even though there's some horrifying things that happens in it. There's a lot of good levity in it.
Okay.
So great. And he, John Boyne wrote The Boy in the Striped Pajamas, if I didn't mention that earlier. Then I also read, this has been all over Instagram, anyone that loves Book of the Month, stuff like that, you follow the same people I do. The Lies I Tell by Julie Clark has been everywhere. It's a really short book. Took me, actually I read it in a day, but I didn't mean to. I just couldn't put it down. I started reading it like early in the morning. Got home from work and just read until I went to bed because I was like, I gotta know what happens. She also wrote The Last Flight, which also was excellent. I wanted to mention this in particular because I think sometimes people hype like new books because publishers send them to them. This one was actually fantastic. And I also felt it stood out because I thought it was just as entertaining as the first book that I read of hers. So again, The Lies I Tell by Julie Clark. And then Under the Banner of Heaven. So this is a TV show. I think I talked about it earlier because, when we were doing like recommendations that episode, I had started watching this, but I finished it. The finale came out.
Okay.
Wow. To me, this was a show that really improved over time. I was interested in the first episode. The few in the middle, I was just like, oh, great. Another crazy religious family. But by the end, it was amazing. Because it really just goes into, like, what happened. This family is Mormon. There was a murder. This really happened in the 80s. And Andrew Garfield is one of the detectives who is Mormon, but also is investigating this murder. And so he has a conflict. He has, like, a religious conflict, a personal conflict. Like, there's just a lot of good, like, thought involved in the show. Then I also watched Pieces of Her. I don't know that this is a recommendation. I wanted to mention this because Pieces of Her, it's on Netflix. It's a miniseries as well. It has Toni Collette. It was a book, though, by Karen Slaughter, who's one of my favorite authors of all time, who I've met. I just adore her. The book was excellent. I read it so long ago, I didn't remember a single thing. I didn't remember anything except one character's name popped up in the middle of the series, and I was like, oh yeah, that sounds familiar. But anyway, I will say this. The show is entertaining because I thought it was really good acting. It's a thriller. It's psychological. It's in Georgia, which I lived in Georgia, so I was excited for that. I don't think it got some really horrible reviews. Like, it came out a while ago. So I'll say, like, if you're looking for Oscar-winning drama series, this is not it. But if you're just like, I want a great weekend watch that's like less than 10 episodes and is creepy, watch it. Pieces of her. Okay. And then I think this is my last one. Yes. Okay. Wow. I watched a documentary. I'm trying to get better about this. I told you, Jared, I've got my typed out watch list. So I'm just trying to like rank what do I want to watch in what order. And I was trying to be kind of different. So I was like series, documentary. Okay. I watched White Hot, The Rise and Fall of Abercrombie and Fitch on Netflix. Wow, this documentary was so good.
Okay.
I think I wanted to bring this up more from like a social aspect, caring about racism in America and always trying to like promote like learning about other cultures and not being racist in general. I feel like that's a given, but it's clearly not. So Abercrombie and Fitch, I say this because this year is the first year of my life I've ever purchased clothing from them. And it was kind of recommended by a friend. And I was like, wait a minute, aren't they racist? And I can't even tell you, Jared, when that happened in life that I knew they were racist. I knew there was a conflict. I had no idea where it came from. I never went in a single store. I never shopped there. I did not really know anything about them except that it was not a brand that I was comfortable shopping. And growing up, I didn't really buy name brand anything. That wasn't a thing in our family. This documentary like blows the roof off the whole like what happened to the store. But basically it was wretched from the top down. And the stuff that was disturbing is like they were not just racist. They were against, like, you were not their clientele that they were selling to if you were not white or thin. That's it. Like, if you are anything outside of that, they don't like you. They don't want you to buy from them, and they don't care that they won't make money. But the worst part is that they were open about it. And they also did a ranking system where they would have pictures of all the employees, and they would literally put hot or not and put X's through them and stuff. And if they didn't think you were hot, they just wouldn't put you on the schedule again. But they wouldn't even tell you you're fired, you're being let go, or sorry, we're going to less like give you fewer shifts. They would just not tell you. You just wouldn't get a schedule anymore. Wow. It was just wretched. And then this gets like, it gets real deep, so you're going to have to watch it. But even like Jeffrey Epstein comes up in it. Like, people were connected to the CEO and stuff. And everyone that was connected to him was bad, like was a villain in real life that is now either dead or in jail. So anyway, it was fascinating. It's only an hour and a half. And I am happy to tell you that the reason I have bought from them this year is I knew they changed ownership. I knew they'd cleaned up their act, and they are not like that at all. And I did extra research. Like, I went through different social media and stuff to look to make sure they were like actually walking the walk, talking the talk. And their entire social media right now is like pride parade, plus size models, people of all races. It's excellent. So I'm quite happy with them, but it was a great documentary, and it was all the things I love. It was like scandal, fashion, you know, activism. It was all the stuff. White Hot. Nice.
So yeah. Those are our recommendations for this week. Lots of good stuff for you to check out. We've got some books and some TV shows and a documentary. Lots of stuff on there this week for our recommends. And now we'll move into our discussion of Jurassic World Dominion, released on June 10th, rated PG-13 for language. Although there's not really a lot of language in this movie, now that I think about that. It's not bad on the language front. If you're concerned about that, I would say that's really not a huge issue. And 10 sequences of action, yes, some violence, action, adventure, that's all in there. So that would be more of my concern if you're wondering, can I take my kid to this movie? Language is not really a big deal. Scary dinosaurs might be more of the issue there with Jurassic World Dominion.
Yeah.
But there's been six of these, so you should know kind of what the format is.
I was surprised by how many kids were in the theater, but I feel like since I don't have kids, I'm not really good at knowing what's an appropriate age, but they were definitely not 13. Like, they were definitely like 7.
Yeah, there were some like 5 and 6 year olds in my showing. Yeah, and I was like, that seems a little young. I mean, I don't have kids, but it seems a little young to see Jurassic World Dominion.
Like, if they were my kids, I would think that's inappropriate, but I don't want to judge. I mean, I clearly did, but I'm trying not to judge too harshly if they're not my kids. But I will say, like, if you're wondering about swear words, I noticed they said the S word a lot, the other word for poop. That came up a lot, but there wasn't a lot of, like, F-bombs and stuff.
No.
So that's good.
And it's 2 hours and 27 minutes. Yep. 2 hours and 27 minutes.
I think, honestly, this movie was 2 hours too long. I think 27 minutes would have been appropriate.
This movie's 20 minutes longer than Top Gun and does about a fourth of the stuff that Top Gun does.
Wow. You just justified whatever score I'm giving. Because thinking about how much we love Top Gun Maverick versus this, how the mighty have fallen.
20 minutes shorter. 20 minutes shorter for Top Gun. IMDb is 6.8 out of 10. That's pretty good, honestly. Rotten Tomatoes, critics 30%, audience 79%.
I giggled when I saw the 30%. Yeah, but I was also, I was really ashamed of Americans when I saw the 70%. But when I saw the 30%, I felt completely validated for all of my feelings.
Yeah, people in my theater clapped after this was over. And I was just like, not really thinking this was a clap after the, you know, movie type movie. Just
Jared,
in my
opinion. Should we share our theater etiquette situation now that you've mentioned that?
Yeah.
Jared and I both had unpleasant theater goers in our film. So, Jared, do you want to go first?
Sure. So, this is a pretty full showing. I went opening night. We were rocking along. We're like an hour into the movie. And then a guy just comes into the theater that hasn't been in the theater at all up to this point. I don't know if he's like movie hopping or whatever, but comes and sits in the seat right next to me and then starts like smashing the buttons for the recliner. Can't get that to work, and then just keeps his like hands in his pockets the whole time, and it's kind of shifty, and it's like freaking me out. So I moved after that because I was like, one, that's weird to just come in an hour and then
that's
just like
creepy.
Sit. Like, I get maybe you come in there, you're like, oh, this is the wrong theater. Oh, this has already started. Wrong movie, whatever. You know, they're showing it on 10 screens or whatever. You just walked into the wrong one. But no, he just like sat down and kept watching the second half of this movie, which granted, he didn't miss much from the first half. So
it didn't make any more or less sense.
Yeah, he probably picked up the plot fine, but it was just a little weird in that situation. So I'm going to say, you know, if you're going to walk into a movie halfway through, that's fine, but just don't act like you're gonna, I don't know, like you're gonna do something, because it was a little freaky.
Yes,
so.
That I know, if anybody gets up in a theater now, I'm immediately suspicious. Man, woman, old, young, I'm like, are you gonna do something? Which is so sad, but at least I'm alert, I guess.
Yeah, I always know where the exits are.
Yeah, so my theater, I was enraged. I know, like, I get real animated on this podcast and in life, but like I was so mad I almost reported this man. So right in front of us, so we went on Saturday, so it was right after opening day, but at 9:30 a.m. because that was the matinee, and I didn't want to pay a dollar more than I had to for this show. So I was like, if I have to get up at 9 on a Saturday morning to like go see this, fine,
go trudge.
And honestly,
the theater,
that was the best choice, because I was pissed by the end of this movie. Okay. This guy is with his wife. I won't describe them. I'll just say, like, every stereotype fit what was happening here. And but what made me so irate was that he had kids with him. So he and his wife were here, I'm assuming his wife, and I'm assuming his kids, they were with him. So I hope they were some way related to him. He starts vaping weed in the theater, like in the, and we're maybe 20 minutes in. And so I won't say he's not like straight up smoking a blunt in the theater.
Yeah.
But I was,
but he's got
also
the vape
like,
out.
But it smelled, everything smelled like weed. And I'm looking around like, you all smell this too, right? And my problem is more like, I am not someone that is like the pot police. Like, I don't care. My issue is that you're in a theater with a bunch of people. You don't know if they have allergies. You don't know if that's a trigger for them and they're in recovery. There are kids everywhere in here. The theater was packed. I would say actually since COVID, this was the most packed theater I had been in. Like, almost every seat was filled. And this guy's just smoking up a storm. We know exactly where it's coming from. And his two children, who looked maybe 5 and 7, are sitting next to him. And I was like, if you do this brazenly in a theater, what do you do at home? Like, what are you okay with? And what are you teaching your kids? I was furious. And the only reason I didn't report him was I was worried he would have a gun or something. So I didn't. But I talked about it like for like an hour after the show, I was still talking about how mad I was at this douchebag. So anyway, Yep, he sucks.
Yeah, maybe
but that's
don't
my
smoke
story.
Weed in the theater. Yeah.
And I'm just shocked. It's a movie, and like you could have gotten high in your car before you came in. I don't understand why you're like, okay, it's 9:30 a.m. at Jurassic World Dominion with my children. I have got to do this right now. I was like, if you're that deep in it, maybe I should take you to a recovery center because this is outrageous. So screw that guy, but he didn't make the movie more exciting. He only made it worse, and I didn't know that was possible.
Speaking of people and the box office, domestically, $151 million. These movies always do big numbers at the box office.
I don't
office,
get
even
it.
Though they aren't great. $151 million domestically already, $405 million worldwide. It's almost made $500 million, and it's been out a weekend. So it'll get to a billion
what?
For sure.
Do you know what I think, though? Because I did fall for this a little bit. I thought this movie might be better because Laura Dern and Sam Neill were in it.
Yeah, so, and
Jeff
Goldblum. Yeah.
I was like, okay, maybe this has a tiny, tiny, tiny leg to stand on. I was wrong, but I can see people paying because of that, not because of the new talent, in air quotes, new talent.
Yes.
Yeah.
So the synopsis for this one is 4 years after the destruction of Isla Nublar, dinosaurs now live and hunt alongside humans all over the world. This fragile balance will reshape the future and determine once and for all whether human beings are to remain the apex predators on a planet they now share with history's most fearsome creatures in a new era. We'll talk more about all of that coming up. That was a very long synopsis for a movie that did nothing, basically. First review from a critic is from Sarah Michelle Fetters of MovieFreak.com, who says, Jurassic World Dominion is dumb without the fun, and that just makes me sad. Yeah, that's
the critics' accurate. Reviews for this were hysterical. I had a great time picking the reviews.
Next up is Liz Shannon Miller of Consequence, who says, honestly, it's probably a bad sign that of all the players in this film, the dinosaurs are probably the ones root for the most.
Yes.
Yeah, you're like, go dinos. Where are the dinos? Show me some more dinos.
I was hoping they'd eat everyone so the movie would end.
And then finally is Leonard Maltin of LeonardMaltin.com, who says, this is not a story that begged to be told or a saga that demanded a finale. It's another dispiriting example of how Hollywood never leaves money on the table. It's just a shame that so much talent is wasted in the process.
Yeah.
This movie is directed by Colin Trevorrow. He's done all of the Jurassic World movies up to this point. Jurassic World, Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom, Jurassic World Dominion. He also directed The Book of Henry. Weird little movie that is, if you ever want to check that out.
Nope,
someday.
Not after this.
It's very odd.
Pass.
And Safety Not Guaranteed. Yeah, that should be the definition of this movie. Safety Not Guaranteed. You will not enjoy your experience. He does not have any upcoming projects listed. This was kind of his big thing he's been working on for the last 6 years or whatever, just like one of these movies after another. So I don't know what he'll do next, but nothing in these three movies showed me that he is really that amazing of a director. So we'll take a quick break here on the show, and we'll come back. We'll talk about our cast and our likes and dislikes for Jurassic World Dominion. And we're back here on the Silver Screen Podcast talking about Jurassic World Dominion. This movie has a not a huge cast, honestly, and mostly people that you would all know because they're big movie stars. The first one of those is Chris Pratt, who plays Owen Grady.
Yeah, I'm gonna blow right through these because there's just no point. Chris Pratt is best known for Guardians of the Galaxy, The Lego Movie, Jurassic World, and Parks and Recreation. Next, he will unfortunately be in Thor, Love and Thunder, and also Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3.
Making that money.
Okay. Bryce Dallas Howard, she plays Claire Deering. She is the daughter of Ron Howard, who I do love, and I actually really like Bryce, but I'm not going to get into that because this movie can't be forgiven. She is best known for The Help, Black Mirror, The Mandalorian, and Jurassic World. Next up, you can see her in Argylle.
I will say she's doing cool things with The Mandalorian. She's directed a few episodes of that.
That's awesome.
So she seems to maybe be getting more involved in the Star Wars universe, which might be the right move. So
I'm a big fan of the Howard clan, so I was trying to rhyme there, but okay. Okay, next we have Isabella Sermon. She plays Maisie Lockwood. She is a 15-year-old English actress. She has only 2 acting credits. That's still amazing. Her other acting credit is Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom, and she doesn't have any upcoming projects listed yet. I will not fault her for being in this movie, and her acting was completely lovely. And then this movie is also starring, there's actually, like, I was impressed by a lot of the actors in this, like, intrigued by them and want to see more work from them. I don't blame them. I don't fault them for, like, picking this movie. This movie's also starring Laura Dern, Sam Neill, Jeff Goldblum, DaWanda Wise, Mamadou Athi, B.D. Wong, and Campbell Scott.
There you go. That's the cast of Jurassic World Dominion. Yes. The new reunite with the old. Likes for this movie, not a ton.
Nope, it's gonna be a short list.
One of my likes, though, was whereas the last two movies have kind of gone exclusively CGI with the dinosaurs, there were a few scenes in this movie where you could tell they used, like, real models for dinosaurs. Like, there's one scene where Laura Dern, I think is, like, getting up close to a dinosaur, like she does in the first one. Like, yeah. She's kneeling on the ground with that Triceratops or whatever, and they kind of allude to that in this movie. And whatever they're using in that scene is, like, a real model. It's not CGI because she touches it and, it, you know, it's moving and everything. So I thought that was cool in certain scenes that they had, like, animatronic dinosaurs that they made for this movie. That was a big thing in the first one. Steven Spielberg was very adamant that they didn't want to do a ton of CGI in that movie or use it to supplement, like, you know, real model dinosaurs. So I thought it was kind of cool that they went back to that for some scenes in this movie. Now, I saw an interview with Laura Dern before this came out, and she's like, yeah, we used a lot of real models of dinosaurs, and there's, like, 3 scenes with those in it. So that was kind of a bait and switch there by her. Yeah. So.
I was going to say, because I didn't list this specifically, but I really, there was one scene I liked, one scene.
Okay.
That I really, it actually stood out to me. It was the end. I'm not saying that to be funny. The end, you see a bunch of animals, like animals that are alive today that we would see in nature, running with dinosaurs. So you would see, like, an elephant. I don't think it was with a Triceratops. It might have been a Brachiosaurus or a Brontosaurus.
Big Lion King vibes.
Yeah, like, it was very Lion King vibes. But I actually thought it was cool because it seemed like almost like they were showing evolution, or kind of like, this is how this animal is like this animal, or this one has developed into this. I thought that was actually quite creative, and I thought it was cool because this movie, the whole idea is that dinosaurs coexist with humans and we're, like, all learning to coexist. And I don't think that will ever happen because of what happened in real life with dinosaurs. But it was cool to, like, I felt like it went nicely with that idea of everybody kind of living together and figuring that out and showing them in different environments like the Sahara Desert and all that stuff. So I did like that scene.
Another like that we had is the older cast reuniting. That was kind of cool. They could have done that a lot better, which we'll talk about in dislikes, but it was neat to see the 3 of them back on screen. And they did have a substantial amount of screen time in this movie. It wasn't like they showed them in the trailer and then they were in it for 5 minutes. I mean, especially Laura Dern and Sam Neill, they were both in the movie just about as long as Chris Pratt and Bryce Dallas Howard were. So, you know, that was good.
I felt a little differently. Like, I thought that they actually didn't get enough screen time, okay, but maybe it was because I hated everything else that was happening so much that I just wanted them back. But I will say, to their credit, they did give a lot to the film, and they were great together. Sam Neill and Laura Dern and Jeff Goldblum were gold. They were so good. They had that same rapport. It was very cute that, like, Jeff Goldblum was kind of fighting for Laura Dern in the same way that Sam Neill was. Like, they had that in the first movie. Like, that was cute. They all were really helpful and patient. And I did like, too, they didn't dog on the younger generation. They worked together to kind of solve this fake, real, unrealistic problem. But I liked that. I loved having the old cast there. And honestly, that was the only thing that made me excited to see this movie, was because I knew they were coming back.
And then another like was, there's good diversity in this cast as well. There's multiple women. There's people of color. Overall, it's a pretty well-assembled cast on that front in terms of not just being a bunch of white men. So that's a nice thing. So in a 2022 movie. So, okay, that's basically all the... Oh, my other like was Jimmy Fallon's not in this one. He was in the first one. He wasn't in the second one. I thought maybe he was... You don't remember Jimmy Fallon's cameo in the first Jurassic World?
No.
Okay, well, I'm not a huge Fallon fan, so I thought he would like return in this one, and he did not. So that was great.
I will say I don't know that this is a like because I don't think they did a good job with this, but I do think they were trying to bring up issues like big pharma and climate issues and the environmental impact humans have on the environment. Like, I think they were trying, but that's too many issues to tackle in one film, and they did a horrible job of doing that. But I did want to bring up that I see that they tried, but they failed.
So now on to dislikes. There's a lot with this movie. One big one that I noticed is, so I don't know if when you saw Fast and the Furious or whatever that most recent one was called that we did, there was a trailer for Jurassic World, and it was like the first 5 minutes of the movie. They showed it before Fast 9, I think, or whichever one that was that we just did.
Okay.
At least in my theater that I was in.
That sounds vaguely familiar.
The beginning of the movie is not that sequence that was shown before Fast and the Furious. They like completely changed it. It was completely different. So that was wild to me. There's also a scene in the trailer of like a T-Rex like in a drive-in movie theater. That's not in the movie. So it seemed like they did a lot of editing stuff. And there was stuff that was in the trailer and that they had shown that was not in the film. So that just seems like this was kind of a mess from the beginning.
Yes. So I didn't notice that, but I am really impressed that you did. I don't need to say anything else about this just for the sake of not boring people to tears, but this movie was way too long. There was no justification for how long it was. And it did that thing that makes me so angry where there's like false endings where you think it's about to end and then they create a new problem. And I'm like, wait, what? You can't do this 2 hours and 15 minutes in. So that just infuriated me, but...
Anyway. Another dislike for me was, there's a spoiler, there's a part in the movie where they're in a plane and they decide that Bryce Dallas Howard's character is going to eject from the plane, but Chris Pratt's character and the pilot character are going to stay in the plane. Bryce Dallas Howard flies to the ground in this parachute that like won't open, et cetera, and then is in the forest by herself with all these dinosaurs.
Also, very Top Gun Maverick. Like, that's almost exact. Sorry. That's just almost
exactly it is.
In the movie. Yeah.
Yeah. Weird. But then Chris Pratt and the pilot lady kind of land on this iceberg type thing. Mm-hmm. Don't really hit it that hard. Survive and are together. And I'm like, why did you say that like Bryce Dallas Howard has to go do her own thing? I guess it's because Chris Pratt was being like, I care for my wife and I want her to be safe. But at this point, you haven't established really a relationship between those two characters in this movie. And they're not even like husband and wife, I don't think, in this. They're just like together. So I don't, that scene to me was the big one where I was like, why did she split from the rest of the crew?
Yeah.
I don't understand it. Like, why did they either all three eject or like nobody eject? Cause it's weird to just have her go do her own thing for like 20 minutes.
Yes. Speaking of 20 minutes, I won't dwell on this for 20 minutes, but I could. That's how I want to start. I can't stand Chris Pratt. Anyone who knows me for 5 minutes or more, like, is aware of this. And Chris Pratt, I mainly just object to everything he, like, stands for. And I feel like he injected his real-life opinions and who he is into this film. Like, he, especially the way he treated Bryce Dallas Howard, like, he was, when you're talking about that ejection, like, she's going to eject out of the sea, he was like, it's okay, like, go save the kids. Because, of course, she has to be the one to live to take care of the kids. And he was like, I'll survive if it's meant to be. And then
it's
also,
such a poorly written scene.
He is such, in my opinion, a horrible actor. I mean, when you talk about someone that's a one-note person, to me that is Chris Pratt. Like, even more so than Ryan Reynolds and stuff, because I think Ryan Reynolds, like, can write his own jokes and stuff. I don't think that Chris does that. But Chris, like, his main move, Jared and I joked about this before we started recording, if there was a dinosaur, like, we can't fully imagine dinosaurs because we never saw them. We've seen fossils, we've heard about them, whatever. So maybe you can't understand the fear, but let me just tell you, dinosaurs wouldn't think, should I kill this human? They would just kill us. Like, they wouldn't debate. And he will just, Chris Pratt would just constantly hold his hand up.
Yeah, like he does in all these movies, like started with the first one. And
yes, like how you would say to a horse, whoa, Nelly, and you would just put your hand up.
Yeah.
Sometimes that would work for a dog or a trainable animal. If you did that to a velociraptor, they're not going to be like, let me think about this for a minute. I'm going to like reconsider my actions and calmly turn around.
Well, even in the first movie, it's like he's doing it to velociraptors, which, okay, they're smaller. Ridiculous. In this movie, he's doing it to T-Rexes.
T-Rex. They're not going to just a T-Rex. No big.
They're not going to stop. Like, on a They're hand not. Signal.
And then the whole, like, we have developed relationships with Blue and this other one, and we've given them names, so therefore they're humans, and they behave like humans. Like, listen, I talk to Rupert, my cat, like he is a person, but I'm also aware that he's a cat. He also can't murder me. Like, a dinosaur is a different level, and dinosaurs were not like a cat or a dog where they would, like, become one with the family. So it was horrible. His acting was appalling, but, like, it wasn't even believable how he developed these relationships and like manhandled these dinosaurs. It was awful. And he does the one eyebrow raise and the like confused look, always like there's trouble afoot, and would just kind of raise his eyebrow, and then he, you know, would flex his muscles, and I was like, I'm not impressed with anything that's happening.
Another dislike I had, we're almost done. Another dislike I had is the end. You talk about the multiple endings. Near the end, they're like, we got to save Blue or whatever the other dinosaur, like Blue's daughter or whatever. And I was like, why? Yeah. You just need to get off this compound. Like, it's on fire. There's dinosaurs everywhere. Like,
there's locusts.
Yeah, like, who cares about this? I mean, sure, I guess, but, like, in the scheme of things, like, your human survival is more important than saving this baby dinosaur. Like,
sure, I guess. That's my favorite thing you've ever said.
Sure, I mean, whatever, but, like, no, like, just get off the island. Again, it was, like, a multiple ending thing. And then at the end, the pilot girl, I forget her name, is like,
I don't know, but give me Jawanda is the actress.
Okay, give me 10 minutes and I'll be ready to go. And then, like, everybody does their thing. Laura Dern and Bryce Dallas Howard get the power turned back on, just like Laura Dern does in the first movie. Samuel and Chris Pratt and Jeff Goldblum just kind of sit there at a computer. And then, like, that happens for a few minutes. And then it cuts, and, like, she's not even ready with the plane yet. Like, she's just going up the elevator to go get the plane. It's like, and then they're like, there's dinosaurs around. Watch out. And she's like, there is. I mean, it's just so dumb. Another dislike for me was there was no tension in this movie. None of the characters were ever in any real danger. Like, in Top Gun,
you just put your hand up, raise your eyebrow, and they turn around and leave.
But in Top Gun, there's unexpected, sorry to reference that, but it's way better than this is. But in that movie, there's unexpected moments of tension, like the bird strike thing. And then even in the final sequence, and like Rooster has to go try to save Maverick, Maverick's trying to save Rooster. There's unexpected things that happen that are like tense moments in that movie. And this, I was never once in danger. I was like, well, nobody's going to die. Like, it would be great if Chris Pratt would just like get chomped up by a T-Rex, but unfortunately that didn't happen. But there was no like tension in this at all. No worries of if a character was going to survive a situation. So that was another dislike. And then, like you said, acting's not good.
Yeah.
I thought Isabella Sermon was real. I mean, I know she's only 15, but I thought her character was really not that great in this movie. I think it was just the lines they gave her.
So that was part of the cheese factor for me. My last dislike is just cheese on cheese on cheese. Every kind of cheese is in this film. It was like everyone was typecast. They were like, oh, the angsty teen. Okay. Like, as if teenagers can't be anything but angsty and flip people off. Like, I never flipped someone off as a teenager. Like, I was forbidden. I just did not. And then things like Chris Pratt, like, just being like, I'm the man. Go to the kitchen, have kids, and go back to the kitchen. And, like, I just was like, oh, wow, what a new original idea. And then things like, you know, I love you, and we're going to take care of this daughter, and we're raising her as our own. It was just like, everything was just stupid. I don't even have articulate words. It was just stupid.
I also hated the, like, Tim Cook CEO boss character that they
made.
Oh
my gosh. That was awful. He made me laugh the first scene. And okay, I'm glad you brought this up. So this will be my last. I have to stop. But I hate, too, that every evil tech CEO is Steve Jobs. Like, get a new idea, because we already, like, what's her name? Already took it from Theranos. I just watched, like, how can I not think of her name?
What's her name? Elizabeth Holmes.
Thank you. Yes. Elizabeth Holmes, like, I we get it, like, she stole it, but that's enough people. And also, Steve Jobs, probably not a great person in real life, but he certainly wasn't, like, psychotic. I don't know that we need to, like, poop on his memory for the rest of time because he liked a black turtleneck. It was slimming and it looked good on him. Who cares? Move on. Get a new idea. This movie sucked.
Also, nothing like having locusts be the main villain in a movie about dinosaurs.
The Ten Commandments? What are we doing? Stop it.
I was just waiting for Jeff Goldblum to have a scene where it's like, first it's locusts, and then,
then it's
all
frogs.
The firstborn will die.
Leprosy.
And then the river will turn to blood.
Yes. I was waiting for that too. With his long fingers.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Okay, yep. That's great. It on Jurassic World
to
Dominion.
To summarize, we hated this film.
We could go on longer, but we're not going to.
No, thanks for sticking with us this far.
Yeah, thank you. Okay, on to ratings, grades. You're first, I think, so.
Yes. I don't need to explain this. I'm giving this movie a 28, which is one of the lowest scores I've ever given.
I'll go slightly higher, but not much. I really love the first one. I just talked about it on my top 10 movies of the 90s. It was my favorite movie of the 90s.
I love the movie, the original.
Yeah.
Love.
I'll give this is going to get a 35 from me. It's
beautiful, Jared.
Worst movie beautiful. I've seen this year so far. On my letterbox, it's dead last.
Yeah.
So just so many things that this movie, I think, does wrong and does not execute correctly. And it's really not a clean wrap up to a trilogy of movies either. No storylines really get resolved or you don't even really care about the storyline in this movie. You're like, okay, locusts is going to eat the crops. Okay, sure. I mean, I guess I feel like we would probably just develop something to like kill them and then it would be done. So
also,
and
if
what do you know? That's what happens.
If anybody cares, I actually rated Space Jam A New Legacy higher than this.
Yeah, that was, well, for one, it's an hour shorter. So that's most of its increase in ratings.
You're dropped
points.
10 points for the extra hour.
Yeah, I mean, 2 hours and 27 minutes for this is crazy. So. Okay, you can follow the show on social media at Podcast Silver on Twitter and Instagram. Search the Silver Screen Podcast on Facebook. Links are also in the show description, so you can just click down there. And also, we have our Letterboxd profiles in there as well. If you'd like to follow either myself or Katie on Letterboxd, we've got those listed for you. Be sure to rate and review wherever you listen to the show. That really helps us out. Next week, we'll be reviewing the new Disney Pixar film, Lightyear, which I think will be better than Jurassic World.
Dominion.
I do, too.
And it's Chris Evans.
It is, well, animated form. You're not going to like see him shirtless. I'm sorry to say.
I know. I can Google that anytime, Jared. Plus, it's in my mind forever.
Oh, boy. So that's next week, Lightyear.
Until next time, we'd like to thank the Academy.